I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. As Greece heads into emergency talks to try and figure out a way out of its enormous debt problem, we'll hear why financial issues way over there are relevant all the way over here. That conversation is coming up in just a few minutes. But first, it's time to check in on this week's most interesting political stories. On this side of the ocean, Congressman Anthony Weiner's resignation, Michelle Bachmann's strong showing as a Republican candidate running to take the White House from President Obama in 2012, and a bizarre TV ad in California from a group called Turn Right USA that's got left, right, and center all scratching their heads. For this weekly political chat, we've called on, once again, Mary Kate Carey, columnist and blogger for U.S. News and World Report. She's also a former speechwriter for President George H.W. Bush. Welcome back. Thanks for coming.
Thanks for having me.
Also with us, Michael Fontroy, the author of the book Republicans and the Black Vote and a professor of public policy at George Mason University. Thank you so much for joining us once again.
My pleasure.
So let's start with Anthony Weiner, the New York congressman, a rising star, some thought a strong potential candidate for mayor of New York City, something he seemed to be very interested in, strong progressive voice. As I think everybody knows by now, resigned yesterday. He made a very short speech at the same senior citizen center where he first announced a campaign for city council 20 years ago. Here's a short clip.
I'm here today to again apologize for the personal mistakes I have made and the embarrassment I have caused. I make this apology to my neighbors and my constituents, but I make it particularly to my wife, Huma.
And what you didn't hear there is that there was a lot of background noise. There were some of senior citizens there who were there to support, and there were also hecklers there. And it was just a very kind of, and of course reporters, a very kind of tense scene. Mm-hmm. And for those who don't remember all the details, that his undoing were these tweets that he sent to various young women of himself in various states of undress, which he initially lied about a lot, and then had to come clean at some point. So, Michael Fontroy, what can we learn from this?
Well, I think he has begun his campaign for mayor of New York. I think that this is about rehab. He could have sent a statement saying he was going to resign, and he chose to go to a place that means something to him politically. Now, in terms of what it means sort of cosmically, you know, my wife asked me to explain this last night. And
on behalf of his gender.
She said, stand up for your people. And I really can't. I mean, this is a really unfortunate story. It is. But what's really unfortunate about it is that it's so predictable and it happens so frequently. And men in a position of power, some of whom think that the rules don't apply to them, or some of whom think they won't get caught, just seem to engage in things that are self-destructive. And I wonder if there's something inside him that leads him to do the self-destructive things.
Mary Kate, any lessons from this?
I watched it in all its excruciating glory with my two teenage daughters in the room, unfortunately, which reminded me of years ago when my dad thought it was a good idea for the whole family to watch Animal House together, a similarly excruciating situation for everybody involved. but my reaction was, this is a teachable moment for the kids on the long-term consequences of sexting, on how fast you can lose a good reputation, on how to leave gracefully. What he should have done, as we were saying, was some sort of press statement. You know, I wrote in a blog this morning, this is why God gave us written letters of resignation. He should have done a written letter to the speaker and done it the old-fashioned way 2 weeks ago.
Let me just add quickly, though, there is a maxim here I think needs to be applied, and that is that which will be done eventually should be done immediately. There was no chance, once this began to blow up, that he was going to be able to ride out the storm.
But here's what I don't understand. Why is David Vitter, Louisiana senator, who acknowledged involvement with prostitutes, which is illegal? I mean, I don't know that with Anthony. I know what Anthony Weiner did is creepy. I know this.
Right.
It's creepy.
Right. Creepy is the word.
But I don't know that it's illegal. But what David Vitter did arguably is illegal. We know that he was involved with a prostitution ring. And he still has his seat. And so I guess I'm sort of saying is, who gets to be redeemed and who doesn't is the question I have.
Well, I think everybody gets to be redeemed. They may not be able to be redeemed and keep their job. You know, now with Weiner, part of the problem for him is he had had such a bombastic reputation as an attack dog for the left against Republicans. And so I think for some, there was a glee in going after him. And with regard to Vitter, you're also talking about somebody who's from a fairly isolated state geographically from the D.C., New York sort of media access axis, rather. And so he's able to go back to Louisiana and sort of hide out. His wife stands by him, and then he ends up running for re-election and winning.
Yeah, so big difference in the Big Easy.
Yeah, I mean, it makes
sense. I think part of it, too, is Wiener wasn't known as a guy with a lot of friends. You look at Charlie Rangel or even going back to Bob Packwood, mm-hmm. These were guys who people don't – especially Charlie Rangel is probably the best example because they're both from New York and so recent in the internet age. I think if you have a lot of friends around town and you're known as a decent person and people have known you for years, it makes a big difference. And mm-hmm. I don't think Wiener had that on his side. I don't think he had a lot of allies who were willing mm-hmm. to stick up for him when the chips were down.
Well, speaking of somebody who's going to need some allies, let's talk about Michele Bachmann, who a Tea Party favorite, a strong showing, I think surprising to some, at the first out-of-the-gate Republican debate, which is held in New Hampshire, in Manchester, New Hampshire, early in the week. And if you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. We're catching up on this week's political news with Mary Kate Carey, columnist and blogger for U.S. News and World Report. She's also a former presidential speechwriter. And Michael Fontrai, author and professor of public policy at George Mason University. So, Michele Bachmann, congresswoman from a conservative district in Minnesota, here she is at Monday night's Republican presidential candidates debate. She's talking about unifying the Republican Party.
We need every one of us in a three-legged stool. We need the peace through strength Republicans. We need the fiscal conservatives. Right. We need the social conservatives. Right. We need everybody to come together because we're going to win. Just make no mistake about it. I want to announce tonight, President Obama is a one-term president.
And that you hear John King, the moderator from CNN, trying to say, okay, your time is up, your time is up. But so Mary Kate, tell us a little bit about what you think the appeal is. I mean, she's made some missteps already and she kind of offered her own response to the State of the Union, which some people in the Republican Party thought, what was that about? I mean, and she didn't acquit herself particularly well.
She's looking at the wrong camera.
She's looking at the wrong camera. Yeah. She's misspoken about completely misunderstanding American history, which I think, some people like Michael would, I think, particularly not appreciate.
Well, sadly, she's not the only one that does it.
But tell me, what do you think her appeal is, Mary Kate?
I find her very intriguing, as I think a lot of women do. There's a lot of eye rolling among sort of mainstream Republican women about Sarah Palin, and there doesn't seem to be about Michele Bachmann. People have been coming up to me on the street for years. I think it's because she's the one they wanted Palin to be. She's just as charismatic. She's just as good a prolific fundraiser. But she's got this history of slip-ups, so she's always got a surprise. You want to watch her and see what's going to come out of her mouth next. None of her slip-ups seem to be deal-breakers, and most of them seem to be 10-second soundbite type stuff. The other thing people are fascinated by is foster mother of 23 kids. And that, I think, says volumes about somebody. They're all teenage girls who she helps get through high school. These are not babies that she's raised from birth. She takes them when they're in most need of trouble. And
you're right.
Helps
that is something
through.
That gets a lot of people's respect.
That
gets a lot of respect.
Volumes.
Not just across, I think, not just Republicans, but I think a lot of
that
people
a lot.
Look at that and say.
And there's never been a complaint.
Right.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
And,
Michael?
And not only that, as that story gets to be told more often, the people's view of her will improve because I don't think a lot of people know that part of her. And I think once that gets out, I think she'll benefit.
Yeah.
But, there's another part to this. From my perspective, this appears to be an unimpressive field that is crying out for a spark. And in some ways, she can be to Mitt Romney what Barack Obama was to Hillary Clinton during the nomination fight. That is somebody who is not from a stereotypical background. She can come in and make some noise and make some arguments. And while she does have these problems with slip-ups and, not knowing sort of basic American history in some respects, I think for most rank-and-file Republican voters, that's not going to be a big issue.
It's not really a deal-breaker yet.
Not a deal-breaker yet. There was one, the Daily Beast wrote a piece this week about what it called Bachmann's, quote, unrivaled extremism. And that's going to be an interesting sort of question, whether she is obviously known as a very strong evangelical Christian. The question is, does that translate into a political extremism that the mainstream will find unacceptable? I think that's going to be the interesting thing to watch.
Right.
Speaking
right.
of which, though, this is one thing. We've got to spend 5 seconds for this. Political ad in California that is just shocking to many people. It targets Janice Hahn, a Democrat who's running for Congress in a special election. I'll just play a little bit of the ad just so you get the flavor of it. Here it is.
Give me your cash.
It does take a different kind of person to be able to speak the language.
Cause we back in again.
Congress has enough gangsters. Janice Hahn. Bad for L.A. Bad for America. Let's keep her out of Congress, homies.
it includes a stripper pole, a white actor pretending to be a stripper, two black men slapping her as if she. It's just beyond. I can't even.
It is beyond.
Discuss. I can't even talk about it. It was created by a PAC, a political action campaign called Right Turn USA, and of course her opponent has disavowed this as well. The question is this like a new frontier here where people will just say anything?
Well, this ad has left me speechless, and very few things that have ever occurred in the history of my life have left me speechless. You know, it's racist, it's sexist. The actors, quote unquote, who participated in the ad, I think need to be famous and need to be asked, you know, what's it feel to sell out? You know, I just don't understand it. And for the Janice Hahn's opponent to disavow it is fine, but this is an example of how your friends can often cause you trouble.
Mary Kate, what do you think this means, though? I mean, like, is this the kind of thing where people feel that because this is allegedly a post-racial society that they can say anything racial or that there's no bottom line anymore?
Yeah, I think it's all publicity is good kind of attitude. And I think this is one more consequence mm-hmm. of these outside groups that are out of control of the campaigns. I mean, this guy's disavowing it, but what's he supposed to do? I mean, if you assume he's not associated with it,
and
giving him
the
benefit of the doubt.
And to your point, Right Turn USA, and I can't believe I just said their name, they're going to make some money off of this. They're going to connect with people who like that kind of crap and will raise money as a result.
This makes good people not want to go in politics is the problem.
Mary Kate Carey is a columnist and blogger for U.S. News and World Report. Michael Fontroy is a professor of public policy at George Mason University and author of the book Republicans and the Black Vote. They were both here with us in our Washington, D.C. studios. Boy, do I hate to end on that ad, that scurrilous ad, but
yeah.
Time is the one thing that I'm making any more of. Thank you both so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
My pleasure.